This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. There were fierce rivals in the Democratic primary, but President-elect Barack Obama is now considering Senator Hillary Clinton for a top position in his cabinet. And we've talked about folks around the world celebrating the Obama win, but some international reactions have been icy or downright racist. We've got these stories and more on today's Bloggers Roundtable with Rob Redding of Redding News Review, Patrice Yersic of Afrobella.com, and Charles Robinson of Charles Black Politics Blog. Hi, guys.
Hi,
Farai. Hello.
So, since Mr. Obama's election to the White House, he's named John Podesta as the head of the White House transition team. Podesta used to be President Bill Clinton's chief of staff. Now, some news sources report that 31 of Obama's 47 appointments have ties to the Clinton administration. Charles, with these kind of appointments, can Obama still claim the slogan, change you can believe in, or should it be Clinton Redux?
And I think part of it is that we don't really have anybody who's appointed. We have a lot of names that have been floated out. And yes, he's had to look at the Clinton administration in order to get his ducks in a row because they've done it before. Understand that if you go in here blind, you can get landslided, if you will, if you don't know how to set up. Clinton had that problem when he decided late in his transition to appoint some of the major figures in his cabinet. Think about this. We're in the middle of an economic crisis. And we got two wars going on. You don't want to start on day one. You need to start, a month ahead of time.
So it sounds like you think that this is a good idea, that he's got some experience there.
Well, it's not necessarily a good idea, but it's the most prudent idea. Think about it. You got to know what to do. And if you've never done it before, why not call on the people who have at least tried it and at least had some success at it, as opposed to going in and say, okay, we're going to restart all over and we're going to, we're going to shift the decks on the Titanic. Guess what? The ship is still going to go down. What you want is somebody who can at least get the ship moving in the right direction, as opposed to trying to ask, what do we do now?
There's also a lot of speculation about the cabinet. And so we had our first interview with Mr. Obama last night on 60 Minutes. And here's what he said about his cabinet.
You met with Senator Clinton this week?
I did.
Is she on the short list for a cabinet position?
She is somebody who I needed advice and counsel from. She is one of the most thoughtful public officials that we have. Beyond that, you're not getting anything out of me, Steve.
Will it be Republicans in the cabinet?
Yes.
More than one?
You're not getting any more out of me.
That was a very to the point. Patrice, what do you think of both the Clinton issue, whether or not Senator Hillary Clinton could be a good Secretary of State, and also the bipartisan issue?
I mean, I think it proves that Obama is really trying to take a page out of Lincoln's book by not just saying he's a bipartisan candidate, but he's proving it. He's doing whatever it takes to get America out of the crisis that it's in. I think it's wonderful to have a president who is proud to make considered decisions and is open to dissenting opinion for a change.
Rob, there's also the meeting with Senator John McCain. Although the meeting has happened, not a lot of news has come out yet about what actually they said. But what role do you think Senator McCain could play? And I'm not talking about necessarily an official role, but is having Senator McCain be a friendly to the Obama White House important?
Oh, I think it is. I think it is also important that he play a role. I can definitely see him as defense secretary, and I think that he's deserving of such a post. In addition to that, I think he probably is more deserving of a Secretary of State role than perhaps Hillary Clinton is. I mean, if you didn't think Hillary Clinton, if some people out there didn't think she was qualified to be President of the United States, she's clearly not qualified to be Secretary of State. But I digress. Charles, look, I was looking to support you to be the first press secretary. I'm surprised you want all this old blood in the White House.
Well, no, Rob, not this time. I think one of the things we've learned anything about the Obama campaign is they don't let things leak. Think about how you learned about the vice president. It was a text message. So I'm assuming if you're on that text message list, you'll be getting the rollout of who the appointees are. But getting back to this thing about John McCain, let me say that, that old adage, you keep your friends close, but you keep your enemies closer. I think that's one of those adages, if you will, that's being played out here. because in the end, you at least know where the arguments are coming from. And not only did he have John McCain there, but he also had Senator Lindsey Graham there, who, I don't care if Mitch McConnell is the leader of the Republican Party. Guess what? Those two got their finger on the pulse of the Republican Party as it's configured at this moment.
All right, Patrice, I want to move us on to this question of international reaction. There were a lot of people around the world, whether they were world leaders or individual people, who were dancing in the street when Obama was elected. And some of it has to do very much with the questions of America's place in the world, not just mm-hmm. Obama himself. But there have been some salty or strange moments. The Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi called Barack Obama young, handsome, and even suntanned. He was criticized for that statement and insisted
ignorance
it was a compliment.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. So what do you think, Patrice? Was this just, Afrobella does beauty coverage. Was this just a beauty
yes.
moment, or was this something more?
It's a moment of ignorance. I don't know if it can be termed beauty at all. I think, there's going to be some uncomfortable moments like this. People are now going to have to learn. People who have not had to learn how to address, people of color are going to have to. And, even though Obama's victory was a huge step forward for equal rights, we're going to see racism pop up abroad, at home, in places that you may not have expected before. And, we're living in really interesting times. It must be a very frightening time to be a racist and to be afraid of people of color.
Well,
you mean frightening? Are you kidding me? This is kind of like a racist dream. They are using this as the poster child of why we need to take things back. I believe it was a German newspaper that actually was, that it had some really scurrilous things to say about the president.
Well, let me point out a couple more, and I think this is maybe what you're referring to. There's a journalist in Austria who told his audience, he was on air, "I think Americans are still racist and they must be very badly off to so spectacularly send a black man to the White House." And there was a Polish lawmaker who reportedly said in a speech, quote, "This marks the end of the white man's civilization. Fear wow. of a black planet." So, yeah. Charles, sounds like what you're saying is we've got some grounds for
Rob,
that.
Rob, you still in Louisiana? Because I could have heard this in Louisiana as well.
It in Louisiana. And let me just tell you, someone that came into a restaurant earlier, I'm understanding, was told because he was wearing a Barack Obama T-shirt that he couldn't get service there. And that kind of thing is going on. Look, this Austrian journalist also said something even more interesting. He also said that, this is a situation where I don't think blacks are qualified to run anything, including a government. And he said, if that sounds like a racist statement, it is. Look, I think this is very cut and dry. I think that the world is having to deal with something that we've been doing over at R&R for a while, and that is deal with black issues as it relates to something that was on the back burner is now on the front burner. And the concept of what is niche news has changed. What was niche news yesterday is no longer niche news today. It is important that we deal with these issues, get them out on the table, and flesh them out. And these are not just little happenstance, fly-by-night comments. These are long-held thoughts that need to be dealt with.
Patrice, this is a little bit of a digression, but I was watching one of the shows on one of the premium cable channels, and a white character just sort of tossed off the N-word. And it just struck me that was something that would not have happened 10 years ago on television. But I'm also wondering if the kind of casual assumption that it's okay for everyone to, sort of play in the racial sandbox is also going to affect pop culture.
I'm hoping to see some real change in the pop culture arena in terms of, now we've got a black president. Are we going to finally start seeing some black sitcom characters or some black people starring on their own television shows? And, and on the runways, in fashion, it's going to be there's going to be a change, I think. It's going to be a gradual change. But, these kinds of things, the uncomfortable moments, are going to come at the beginning. And I'm hoping that as Obama leads, things will really change in a positive way.
It sounds like go ahead.
I was going to say, on the world stage, this busts the caricature that American media has sent out to the world, if you will. I mean, I know that in some Asian countries, we are portrayed as buffoonish and whatever else. And that's not universal. But those images that are being sent out are now being refuted by a person who is literally, the most powerful man on the planet.
So do you think, though, that that will take people who may be uncomfortable with this kind of change and make them kind of fire off more volleys? Or do you think it's something where people will evolve?
I think they have to evolve. It's a new day. You can't look, if you want to play the game the old way, you're not going to be a player in the game. If you want to move forward, then, you know, one of the things I keep hearing from Muslim countries is that we wish we had an Obama type character, someone who is from a minority, so that we could bring new blood into the process. And I think that is the hope that Obama brings to the world, that minorities in other governments across the world will have to recognize these minorities within their own country.
All right. I want to remind everyone who we're talking to. Charles Robinson writes Charles Black Politics blog. Patrice Urasik blogs at Afrobella.com. Rob Redding runs the blog Redding News Review. This, of course, is our bloggers roundtable on NPR's News and Notes. Rob, there's been a controversy on the religious front. In South Carolina, a Catholic priest told his parishioners they shouldn't take communion if they voted for Barack Obama. The president-elect supports abortion rights. And the priest wrote in a letter to parishioners they are putting their souls at risk if they take Holy Communion before doing penance for their vote. So does that cross the line between politics and religion?
Absolutely. And the reason why is because another part of that letter, I believe, referred to him as Barack Hussein Obama, his full name. And people do that typically to slight him. In addition to that, it also said there were other choices that could have been made that implied that there should have been a choice there for the flip-flopping John McCain on the same issue. I think it's very cut and dry that this is inappropriate. It's political, and it has no place in the pulpit in America.
Charles, many American Catholics actually support some forms of abortion rights, although the church takes a very, very firm stance that abortion is completely morally wrong in all circumstances. Do you think this could actually prompt, or situations like this could prompt American Catholics to have more of an internal dialogue?
I think it's been going on for some time. You know, you think back to John Kerry when he was told that by a priest that he would not give him the sacrament. I think part of it is that, you know, religion is butting up against the 21st century as to who you are and what you are, as opposed to being the end all, the be all. I think, I don't want to say enlightened folks, but, you know, those folks who say, wait a minute, I don't want to say you pick and choose which part of religion that you want to adhere to. But I think in the Catholic community, I know that that's been going on. People have decided, well, I agree with the stance against capital punishment, but I don't agree with the thing on abortion. And you have to balance those two issues, and you got to go, well, which one do you want to go with? And I think at the end of the day, though, you know, it'll be some rethinking. But we often have religious leaders say stuff. You go like, you kidding me? Did you just hear what you said? I mean, I've heard Baptists, I've heard Protestants, I've even heard Jewish leaders say some things that you go like, I can't believe you said that.
Patrice, another issue. Inauguration. Everybody wants a ticket. Tens of thousands of requests are coming into congressional offices. They're the main folks giving out the tickets, and then you've got the senators giving out some, and of course, you know, a few patrons get some. But there are going to be estimated 1 million people in Chocolate City. For the inauguration. It sounds good for the tax base, but would you want to go? Would you want to deal with the crowds and the hassle?
Oh, yeah. I would love to be there. I wished I was at Grant Park. I would love to be there. I mean, just to be able to tell your children or your grandchildren that you were there to witness that history in person would be incredible. But, you know, I'm going to be one of the million plus people watching from around the world. And it's also my husband's birthday, so I plan on throwing a big party. I'm very excited for January 20th.
Hey, look, tell him he can stay at my house. I live outside of Washington. I'm only going to charge you $1,000 to sleep on my pull-out sofa.
Yeah.
And
it's a bargain. I'm
not joking.
Because these prices, like on Craigslist, and I mean, the hotels are gone. It's a wrap.
Right. To give you an example, both of them, both Washington and Baltimore, you don't even think about a hotel. I had a guy who said he found a hotel. It was $700 a night. It was in a town called Hagerstown, which is about a good 40 miles, 45 miles outside of Washington. But he lived in Baltimore. I told him, stay home, catch the train over. The interesting part is that if you got any kind of space, people are giving it up. I've gotten at least three emails this morning saying, if you know somebody who wants to come, I got an extra room, I got an extra apartment. And yes, we're anticipating not just, you know, the person who's got a ticket, but think about this, you know, people are getting on buses coming here. I mean, yeah. The closest thing I can remind myself of is when the Million Man March happened. And, you know, they made all the buses stay outside of Washington, and you had to get on public transportation to get into the city. We're talking, I'm thinking 2 million folks. You know, I've got a relative who's in law enforcement. He says, we don't know what to expect, you know, and understand you got to get a ticket to get to the mall. But as soon as the mall is over with, Pennsylvania Avenue. And I'm telling you, that's the free fall.
Do not take a taxi. I can say after living in Washington.
Do not try and take a taxi.
It'll take you for what used to be maybe a 5-minute ride. First of all, you won't go anywhere. You won't even get, you know, a couple of inches. Yeah. And then you'll be charged a ton of money. Rob, would you go? Would you want to go?
Rob's going to stay with me. I figured if Rob's going to call me and say, Charles, can I sleep with
you? I was going to say, yeah, I don't know if you've got any space, Charles, but I've got the floor. So I can't wait.
Oh, wow. All right, guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We were talking to Rob Redding, who maintains the blog Redding News Review, Patrice Yursik, who blogs at afrobella.com. She was at WLRN in Miami, and Charles Robinson, who writes Charles Black Politics blog. He was at WEAA in Baltimore, Maryland, and you can find links to their website at ours, nprnewsandviews.org. And next on News and Notes, we talk to the writer of a one-man show about his own life entertaining troops in the Air Force, and we also talk with a woman who spent decades fighting to help children, Marion Wright Edelman. I'm